We're going to turn in the scriptures to Ephesians 6. And in this chapter, as Paul comes to conclusion, he makes a very personal request that the congregation at Ephesus would pray for him and pray that words would be given and that these words might be proclaimed boldly and that those words would contain the mystery of the gospel. So we hear God's word from the letter written some years ago to the church at Ephesus, but that letter also is written to the church here gathered in Kamoka. Children, chapter 6 begins, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Ephesians chapter 6, the word of the Lord. Let us ask continued blessing in prayer. Father in heaven, in thy light we see light. And we thank thee, Father, that we have not been left in the dark. We thank thee, Father, that we have been given the testimony by which we are to live in this world in preparation for the world to come. We thank Thee, Father, that by Thy Word we receive rich promise, and by Thy Word we are directed in the life that we are called to live day by day. And so, Lord, bless us as we submit ourselves to the proclamation of Thy Word. Indeed, bless what is awaiting Thy blessing, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I would like to read with you once again the verses of our focus this evening. The apostle has enjoined the congregation of old to pray at all times in the Spirit. And then personally he writes, "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." We trust the Lord's added blessing to sustain us as we consider this great task of what it is to pray for our pastors. Congregation and beloved of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a few weeks' time, a new beginning of sorts will be marked by the congregation in the establishment of a relationship with a pastor and a congregation between the minister of the word and the sacraments and the flock that is gathered here, between under shepherd and the lambs of the Lord, between pastor and parish. You will have a young man come alongside a seasoned man, and Brother Joe Gehrman will come alongside Pastor Ferguson to serve in this flock for the glory of God, for the ministry of the Word, for the task of the proclamation of the Word of God. And as you will begin, we trust that a blessed relationship between pulpit and pew will develop and continue to be upheld, as has been in days past with Brother Ferguson. We trust the Lord from your observations in days past. You know that the minister's calling is not an easy one. There are many different pressures, and the ministry can be and often is a straining calling. Sometimes it is a hardship in the congregation. It could be a disagreement that can get blown out of proportion. Perhaps it is a matter that calls the congregation to deal with a particular sin that is living in the midst. And so when we think about the relationship between pastors and congregation, we ask the question, how then shall we proceed in our pulpit-pew relationship? How can we, by God's grace, build up a strong relationship? As you anticipate this time where two brothers come alongside, as you anticipate this time of a brother coming from parts unknown, so to speak, to be with you here in this region. And how will then the Lord Jesus use his people, pastor, and congregation to build his church? And to those questions, this evening we answer with one word: prayer. One of the key components, one of the dominant factors, we might say the main ingredients, so to speak, in our pulpit pew relationship is the matter of prayer. Prayer will bind us together, and we need that, don't we? The binding, the oneness that the Lord seeks of us before our Father's throne. We pour out our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts, and our cares. And so as we continue this afternoon, this evening, under the theme, praying for your preacher. I mentioned again, we want to stress the fact that prayer is necessary in order that your pastors here would be given words to speak. And secondly, that these words would be proclaimed boldly. And then in the third place, that these words would contain the mystery of the gospel. Now, there are many considerations that form part of our daily prayers. Not only do we come before our Father's throne to bless Him, to adore Him, to praise Him for who He is and what He has done in Christ Jesus, we also bring our prayers of thanksgiving. We give testimony to His handiwork in creation. In our prayers, there is the confession of sin. We acknowledge that we depend on the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank our Lord God for His riches at Christ's expense. We marvel at His tremendous love. Then we go further to bring forth our petitions, in which we ask the Lord's continued blessing and caregiving in our life. Give us this day our daily bread. We intercede for others, asking the Lord to bless and lead in particular circumstances. Husbands pray for their wives, and wives pray for their husbands. Parents pray for their children, and children are to pray for their parents. And we pray for grandchildren and extended family and those who are near and dear to us. But our prayers do not stop there. The Lord in His mercy has placed us in a church. A church which we believe is faithful to His word. It's all of God's grace. A church that in many ways is to be built up on the altar of prayer. And in the church, God uses preaching as the primary means of grace. By that we mean to say the principal tool, if you would, that our Heavenly Father uses to produce faith in His children and to build His church is the preaching of His word. And therefore, what the preacher says week by week is extremely important. He's not merely filling some 20 to 30 minutes of time. He's not merely giving information. He's not seeking to tell a nice story. Rather, he is instructing, he is exhorting the things of God. You and I may never diminish the importance of preaching. And how a faithful preacher trembles with the calling and the office that he has received. When Brother Gehrman will stand before the congregation and God Almighty Himself with His affirmation of vows, His I do, there will be a certain sense, I'm sure, of fear and trembling. For pastors, your ministers must first of all answer to the Almighty God. And the minister must clearly understand for himself first what God is saying to him and the congregation as he deals with the word. And then that word must be applied according to the needs of the flock and the issues of contemporary life. And at each turn of the way, God's word must speak. And in his own strength, he cannot do it. Our text this evening indicates in many ways how the pastor, and in this case the Apostle Paul, depended upon the prayers of God's people. We might say in a certain sense, the pulpit here depends on the pew there. Pray for your preacher. I know that you do, but continue to pray for our brother Ferguson, our brother Joe Gehrman, so that words would be given him. Pray that your minister would have a message to give, a message for the flock. Pray, as one preacher, one minister once wrote, for the preacher as he structures his thoughts so that the people will understand them. Pray for the preacher when he is troubled by the knowledge that the needs of those in the pew are so diverse that he will never be able to meet them all. Pray for the preacher on Saturday evening and Sunday morning and Sunday noon when the awesomeness of the task ties his stomach in knots and lifts his heart to heaven. Pray for the preacher while he wonders about the wisdom of God in selecting jars of clay to do such noble work. And the more you pray, the better his preaching is going to be. When we come to our text, we arrive at the final exhortation which the Apostle Paul addressed to the members of the church at Ephesus. There's the sense of a personal postscript. The great teaching of the epistle, we might say, has taken a small pause. And then Paul, in his concluding words, speaks of his need. The text very clearly calls for God's people to pray. And the Apostle Paul is asking that he be the beneficiary of their prayers. And this is most remarkable when you think about it. What a staggering thought that this mighty man of God, this exceptional apostle, this probably the greatest preacher the church has ever known, this incomparable founder of churches, should be asking these people to pray for him. The temptation for any preacher is to go forward in his own strength. But the apostle here is confessing his dependence upon the prayers of others. This is the man of whom we read elsewhere in Scripture went to Corinth in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. There was no self-confidence in the Apostle Paul, none at all. He knew what he was doing. He knew whom he was representing. He knew the power that was against him. His one fear was that at some point or another he may fail his Lord and commander and the army of the living God. And in trembling, he asks the Ephesian Christians to pray for him, to pray for him. Now this is not a new request. For if you go to the letter of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 4 and you read at verse 2, these words, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And so as we move to our second point, the apostle does not leave the Ephesian believers any doubt what they are to pray for him. He asks that he may proclaim boldly. When the apostle wrote these words, he was in prison. He does not ask them to pray that he may be set free from prison. He was an unhealthy man, that thorn in the flesh that plagued him. He does not ask that he might be healed, prayers for healing, but he asks them to pray for boldness. Now, when we speak of boldness, what are we speaking of? We are thinking of words like confidence, courage, openness, boldness, outspoken frankness. By being bold, the apostle means freely, frankly, that nothing be kept back. And when we think of the apostle Paul and his ministry, when we recall his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, as we read of it in Acts 20, he gives this testimony. He said that he had not failed to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Even if the preacher knows that this will bring a measure of difficulty, he may not hold back. That's how you're to encourage your pastors. Don't hold back. Give it all. Give it all. But being bold is not a little button that you can press and then all of a sudden manufacture boldness. It can only be given by God. And congregation, pray that God may give your preachers boldness. Earlier we made mention of the reality of stresses and pressures with respect to being a minister of the gospel. But nowhere is the difficulties of being a minister more evident than in the work of the pulpit. A minister deals with the holy word of God. And when the minister speaks, he better know what he's speaking about. A minister is to preach according to the word of God. He is to be faithful. He will be judged more severely than the rest of the congregation. This in itself can be a fearful thought. And then there is the congregation. God's people come in a variety of stripes. Some people may desire to hear what they call doctrinal sermons, and they're very important. Others want to hear what they call practical sermons, and that too has a place. Some want to hear of the joy of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, but please don't say too much about the responsibility a Christian has in living the Christian life. Some want the good news reduced to the easy news. And from a human point of view, it is impossible for a preacher, so to speak, to keep everyone happy. Well, the point is that he's not to make the people happy. He is to be faithful, to be a faithful servant of the word. So your new preacher will arrive, God willing. Be ordained November the 8th, God willing. And he will be called in his ordination to preach the word boldly, the whole counsel of God, to preach the word that speaks to all situations. The gospel ministry of Jesus Christ will be addressed from this pulpit by your brothers. Weak by week, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, will be held forth each Sunday, but it must be held forth boldly. The Bible itself compares the scriptures to the two-edged sword. It is the lamp that lights our path. It has been given to us for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, in order that God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But now, a preacher does not preach in a vacuum. By that I mean to say a preacher is not isolated from the congregation and the community in which he serves. In many ways, it is safer and easier to preach to a congregation one that one does not know. I'm a here and there preacher. I'm here one week and there another. And I've come to know some congregations, but very slight. After all, how is the traveling preacher to know the particular circumstances of the particular congregation and the individual members? But now, as time goes on, Brother Ferguson knows you well, but Brother Joe Herman will be more familiar with the peculiarities of the congregation. The Bible tells us we're a peculiar people. And the preacher will need to be led to interpret and apply Scripture in such a way that it applies also then to the need and the hour of the covenant congregation here gathered. Now, that's not to say that the pastor will take the church directory, go down the list. Oh, there's a name. Ha ha. What can I say about so-and-so this week? And even so, as the Holy Spirit is busy applying God's word in our lives, there will be times when you think that the brother is speaking directly to you about a very particular issue in your life. Perhaps a struggle in a particular relationship. But you must realize then that the preacher would not be a preacher if he had to keep silent on questions concerning the truth of life, the obedience of faith. If he had to keep silent on the relationships that the Lord wishes to be established in strength and honesty, after a while he would have very little to say. And so in a relatively small congregation, as you are here at this place, preaching becomes all the more difficult. I can say, I believe with little hesitation, that most of you know each other quite well. And so there is all the more reason for you to pray for boldness for your preacher. But not boldness for the sake of boldness alone. Rather, as we shall now see in the third place, you are asked to pray that the message preached contains the mystery of the gospel. There are many words that are shared from the pulpits of this land, and in some cases they are words piled upon words, sometimes many words with little said. At times, words that are said to tickle itchy ears. It happens in the churches of our land. And the words that God requires of His messengers, His heralds of the truth, His ambassadors, are words that are to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, the wonders of the cross, preaching Christ crucified, preaching the humiliation that Christ experienced on our behalf, testifying to His exalted glory. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach the Lordship of Christ as He is the King of the church. We preach the Lordship of Christ as the devil cannot snatch out of His hand any of His followers. We preach the Lordship of Christ, for He is Jesus, the one who saves His people from their sins. And we preach the Lordship of Christ as He rules the lives of those who follow Him. When the apostle makes his request of the Ephesian church, he is not thinking, first of all, of his personal needs. It is not purely a personal or human request that he makes of them. He is interested in one thing only, the thing that has always interested him since he met Christ on the road to Damascus, namely the preaching of the gospel, the good news. The ministry of the gospel had been hidden for so many years, but now that Jesus Christ had come, the mystery had been revealed, and this good news must be proclaimed boldly. All must hear with bold conviction the unsearchable riches of the beautiful Savior. Yes, the Apostle Paul declares that Christians pray for the preaching of the gospel and the spread of the kingdom of God. And congregation, I ask you, will you continue in such prayers? Will you, as it were, bind together with the growing resolve to pray that your preachers will have the power of speech and the freedom of utterance that they are called to preach from this pulpit? I'd say that this pulpit is the most important place in all of Comoca. Sometimes we forget that the Apostle Paul himself was no natural speaker. Certain people at Corinth had taunted the Apostle, saying, as we read elsewhere, his presence is weak, his speech is contemptible. Apollos was known as the orator. Paul was not. And so he urged these Christians to pray so that he would have the word, so that he would have the liberty, so that his tongue would be unloosed, so that his lips would be made mobile, that he would speak with freedom. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his ponderings and his reflections, remarked that it is most interesting to note that this mighty man of God, realizing his own deficiencies, his own imperfections, pleads with these Ephesians to pray for him that he may be able to speak freely, fluently, without halting, without stumbling. Dear congregation, be encouraged to continue in your prayers, but prayers that are very focused. Pray that the men that stand behind this pulpit will have the words to preach, not just any words, but words that are understandable by young and old alike. Words that will be shaped by the gospel message. Words that will go forth with all boldness. Words that will declare the way of life and life eternal. Not words that would merely seek to please men. Rather, we need to pray that we might be delivered, that preachers would be delivered from a spirit of compromise, that the truth may always come first, that the truth that can save us eternally. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord in heaven above be witness to many prayers from his people for those who are called to bring the gospel. Wherever the word of God is preached in spirit and truth, for the mission field, for the harvest to be gathered. And let us pray in the assurance that our God hears humble prayer. That our God is pleased to respond to the prayers of his people. And let us thank the Lord. Let us thank the Lord for that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have heard in earnest the call for the people of the Lord to pray for the ones who bring forth the gospel, that they may know what it is to preach boldly, that words would be given, words that declare the mystery of the gospel. And Lord God, we thank thee for that mystery that has been revealed to us, the glorious truth of what it is that sets us free. And we pray, Lord, help us in our praying. Help us, Lord, to remember that as we gather from week to week, that what it is we experience together in worship is indeed the most important part of the whole week at hand. Oh Lord, we pray. So bless this congregation as they listen to the proclamation of the word. Build up this congregation in faith and faithfulness. And Lord, that together the most holy faith would be precious to us all. Lord, that we may declare the wonders of thy wonder-working love. And we thank thee for that privilege and that gift and that blessing. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.